I've been going through a little series on love and just talking about love. What does it mean to love? When Jesus in Matthew 24 is talking about kind of the end times, he's talking about how hard it's going to be, that there will be false prophets and there will be people that hand over other people to death, even fellow believers. And there's going to be just this really dark time, a really hard time. And he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And that's really hit me a lot of times as I see how dark the world is and how full of pain. I think it's easy to just let my heart get hard. And it says the love of most will grow cold. And it's really hard in a world that's full of pain and darkness to continue to love, to continue to have a soft heart, to continue to extend ourselves, to continue to care and be willing to be hurt. For whatever reason, this past, I think God's just been really doing some of that in me, teaching me some of that. Some of the failure and pain that I've seen recently. It's like, man, there is so much pain in this world. This world is full of pain. Even within our really close relationships, even with parents and kids and even brothers and sisters, even married people, there is just pain and trial. And through the midst of that, may our love not grow cold. And that is my hope. May our love grow. As Paul prays, may your love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight in Philippians 1. As we grow in knowledge, may it not just be head knowledge, but in that love, may we grow in love. May we truly grow to experience love and express love. And the other thing I realize is in the midst of the darkness, we cannot be the source of love. My love dries out. But we have to stay connected to the source of love, which is God. And when we taste and see the beautiful love that He has for us, such amazing love that we don't deserve. As I try to love, I realize more and more the places of me that are unloving. When I was younger, I thought I was a pretty loving dude. It's like, yeah, I love everybody. I had this nice, shallow, sentimental love for everybody. And then I got married and realized, man, I am selfish. And then I had a beautiful little baby who would wake me up in the middle of the night. Like, man, I am selfish. This shallow, sentimental love grows. But in that process, I realize what a lack of love I have in myself. And so one of the things I want to pass on, even as we've been going through this, these four different things on learning to love well, may we love well, may we grow in love, is just be patient with ourselves. It's a process. God is working in us. God is growing us. Sometimes when we start to grow in something, it feels like going backwards because we realize how much further we have to go. And we didn't even realize it before. Thought I was doing pretty well. And then I start being aware of like places that I'm not loving and the whole thing blows open. My prayer for us is that we would be people who love well, who love ourselves well for the sake of God, who love others well, who love God well. And so I think as I've been reading, I think the essence of love to me is that we live our lives in kind of this little bubble, the me bubble. And I have my thoughts and my agenda and my emotions and my, you know, me. And then love is when this bubble comes to somebody else's bubble and it like opens up. And all of a sudden, I'm part of their bubble and they're part of my bubble. And there's a sharing of life. There's a sharing of love. And yet that's kind of tough because it messes up what I got going on. It messes up the good juju of my bubble to be a part of another bubble. You open up your heart and part of them comes into your life. I'm sure I share the same stories with you guys just because I only have so many moments in my life, but whatever. But our small group went to the one of the nursing homes here, and we did like an activity with the folks there, and the kids played music, and we did games and a craft. And there was a guy there, and he couldn't speak. And he's there, and he was really getting into it. You could tell he was just really touched, and he really liked seeing the kids, and he was trying to say something. And I'm next to him, and I could tell he just really wanted to say something. And I have no idea the actual words that he was trying to say, but I felt like I knew exactly what he was trying to communicate. He was trying to communicate, like, I'm here, I belong, I love, I have desires, I receive. It was like, I'm alive and I'm part of this. And I'm right there and I just looked him in the eyes and I'm just had this moment, like, tears just started welling up in my eyes. I'm like, yes. I'm just like, I agree. I'm, yes, absolutely, man. And I just like, in this little strange moment with some dude I've never seen, we just like understood each other. We had the same burning heart to be loved and to be known and to know. And like, it was cool. It was a blessing to me. Let's pray. And we're going to go through some sections in the Bible that look at love and the essence of love. So thank you, God, for this morning. And God, I thank you that you love us. Thank you for the deep love you have for us. And God, I just acknowledge the obstacles of the pain and the darkness and the mistrust and all those things. I pray that your light of love would burn through those, that they would shine into the depths, into the depths of my heart, even where I push away love, that we would know your love and share it with others. God, I ask that you would give us hearts to love. God, I ask that you would keep our love from growing cold. Even if there's an increase of wickedness, give us soft hearts that love, that continue to love and are blessed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first one we're going to look at is 1 John 3:16. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. What an amazing verse. You want to know what love is? What is love? This is how we know. Jesus Christ came into our world. He put aside his divinity, became human, and gave his life for us. Died on our behalf, was a sacrifice for us. He gave everything for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We have to lay down our lives, let go of our lives, give our lives, lay down our lives. And so as I've been studying out this word life, there's a few different words that are translated as life. And the one that's used here is psyche. And it's also used in other places, like when Jesus says, if whoever wants to save his life must lose it. The word he's using there is psyche. So we're going to dig into this a little bit. I think sometimes digging into Greek is just to make us feel smart, but hopefully this has a greater purpose. I feel like there's something more in it, because what this is saying is that the essence of love, how do we know what love is? It's to lay down our lives. What does that mean? Does that mean the way to show love is to take a bullet? Or is it bigger than that? What does that look like? So if we look at psyche, which is where we get our words like psychology, the way it's used in the Bible is this word for life means breath, or the breath of life. It's the force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing of animals and people. Also, it can just mean life, or that in which there is life, a living being. That's a psyche, a living soul. And also, this word psyche is also translated as soul in many places. And so if you think of our soul as the seat of our feelings, desires, affections, aversions, our heart, our soul. Anyways, as I've been pondering this, so it's saying we should lay down our psyches for others. Lay down our souls. And I know I've been thinking about this a lot more than you guys, but just on the spot, what do you think, what kind of things could we lay down? If we're laying down, another way to say this is self, like personality or self, psychology, that kind of. What does it mean to lay down ourselves? What kind of aspects of ourselves could we lay down for someone else? Besides just maybe someday you will actually die for someone, like jump in front of a car. But in the meantime, like, our, say again? Good, okay, our needs. So we have our needs, and we lay those down for the sake of someone else. Good, yeah. Our pride, absolutely, that's a big part of who we are, right? I lay down my pride, my ego, my, this is, I am here, and you just, we lay it down. We lay down our life, our pride. What else do you guys think? Some one more time? Yeah, your own time. Yeah. Time's precious stuff. I lay down my time, and I like to throw the word agenda in there. I have my agenda. My time. This is my agenda. This is my time. And everybody's an interruption to that. But for the sake of love, I lay down my time for someone else. That's what a gift. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Lay down your ego. Swallow your pride. And maybe we could even say being right in that. I think that's kind of part of what you're saying too, that, you know what, I am right, and I am going to stand here, and I don't care what comes, I know I'm right. It's like, I'm going to lay that down. I lay down my ego. I may or may not be right. I'm going to reconcile. What else? Okay, yeah, your own burdens. Absolutely. Lay down your burdens and share somebody else's burdens. Certainly, I come home from work and I got all this stuff that I got to connect with my wife who's got all of her stuff. It's like, I don't want to take on your burdens. Here, take some of mine. Yeah, what an amazing thing. Lay down your burdens and actually share somebody else's. Lay down your life. Any other thoughts? Yeah. Yeah. And so she was asking, what about boundaries and just where that affects you? I think that's worth definitely digging into, because even in my own life, I have had this like false martyrdom. Okay, I'm just going to completely be dead, and I have no importance, and I have no, you know, you're important and I'm not important. Just because we love and we lay down these things doesn't mean we're not important. Doesn't mean that we don't need to receive. Doesn't mean that we don't have limits. Doesn't mean that we can't just say, you know what? No, I can't. Like, I just don't have any extra time. I don't have any money. I can't take on your burdens right now. And I think that's a very important part of being human, and even letting God be God, is to acknowledge our limitations. And so thanks for bringing that. I think that's a really important piece. And I don't want you guys to hear this like, oh, we're just supposed to become so dead. My goal in life is to become dead, just as dead as can be. But no, it's a place of giving and also receiving. But there's a certain amount God's given us to give. And then there's other things He hasn't asked us. We're not anybody's savior. We're not here to fix all their problems or save them or, He's the Savior, but we have a peace in that. And so I think that's really challenging. Those limits are really challenging. And I don't have like a quick answer like, oh, here's the exact amount you should give and then you know when to stop. But be aware of those. There are times when God has not asked us to give and we shouldn't give. There's a time when that dishonors God to give what He has not given of us to give. And I've definitely done that. I did it with a good heart, and I've actually seen it hurt people when it wasn't mine to give and I gave. So, yeah. life is never like super black and white, right? There's always these nuances. Totally. When your adult kids come and ask you for money, there's times you should say, no. You got 2 feet, 2 hands, and go for it. And there's times in love when we should give. And so, anyways, yeah, let's keep going. But that's a really important piece. And I'm not saying we give to every single need. And so, and even in this vein, as John is writing this, he's saying, lay down your lives. And then right after that, he says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So that's where this lay down your life is becoming like a practical thing. I'm giving of my resources. It costs me something. And I do that for the sake of someone. I don't just do these fancy words like, oh, I love you, be warm and well-fed, and like, no, love actually gives something. It costs us something. That's the essence of love. The essence of love is that we lay down something for others. What are some thoughts? What are some practical ways that we can go beyond ourselves out of love for someone else? Yeah. Okay, volunteering. I like it. So volunteer in a place, meet needs. There's lots of great service organizations. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah, that really hits home with some of the things that have happened to me this week. So she was saying that if someone calls and has a lot of burden, just they need a listening ear, but they have so much to dump. So it might be a cop out to be like, oh, I got too much of my own stuff going on. I can't engage with that. But then there might realistically be a time where it's just like, hey, this is too much for me. Like, you need to take this to God. I could be a listening ear. I could help you pray through this, but I cannot just be a dumping ground for everybody. And sometimes we can feel like a dumping ground. And sometimes the reverse, I think it can be a cop-out. Like, I'm not a dumping ground. Take your problems somewhere else. And I think being a listening ear for somebody can be a fantastic way to go beyond yourself. Sometimes just being a sounding board for somebody is one of the greatest gifts you could give anybody. And then after you take it, I think it helps me to bring it to God. Thank you for sharing that. I don't have the answers. Let's pray for your sake and for my sake, because I can't carry it and I can't fix it. Let's take it to God and dump that. But that's a great way to go beyond ourselves. Yeah, that's good. So she was saying sometimes in her day, she's got it scheduled with her kids. She's got everything planned out. And then her kids need love. They have needs. It's like, sorry, we have an agenda. Like, you know, when school's over, 4 o'clock, you can bring your needs. But to interrupt that agenda, to interrupt our daily agendas, to just care for somebody's need. And what a gift to lay down our lives for somebody else and give them something in that time. And let's look at another section. Philippians 2 says 3 through 11. I actually added 1 and 2 on there. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? I hope the answer is yes. Absolutely. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. So if you have this love from Christ, some comfort, tenderness, share it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Wow. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So, again, it's that laying down of our interests and being concerned about the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What an amazing thing. So, again, capturing that, just like Jesus, he lowered himself from heaven, from his divinity, from being the fullness of God, to humble himself, to come into our world. He entered into our world. And not only did he enter into the world in general, he enters into my world. He enters into my own mess, enters into Dove's world, and humbled himself. And the cool thing is, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name. That act of humility and then led to this great exaltation, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there's a lot in that, but this passage is kind of laying out that love comes out of this attitude like Christ of lowering ourselves. When we think of ourselves as like so amazing, and well, I could have pity on a couple people, then it makes it really hard to love. But when we consider others more important than ourselves, what a wild phrase, consider others more important, or at least at the same level. And when we see each other on that level, as a person with a beating heart who wants to be loved and known and has desires and dreams, just like me, rather than like, whatever, it's your own fault that you got problems, or whatever kind of things we do to be above that, we don't have to deal with it, but to lower ourselves, just like Christ, he lowered himself down into our world at our level. That is the essence of love. To lay down our own superiority. One more section, Romans 12, 9 through 16. Love must be sincere. That's a great place to start. Love must be sincere. It's not just a pretend thing. Man, I have had some pretend love in my life. Or just to look good. I was more concerned about looking loving than actually loving someone. But love must be sincere, genuine, true. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I really like these places where it's just like a whole bunch of little snippets of like crazy powerful sentences. It's like each one of these you could meditate on for like a week. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. That's a sentence that's worth clinging to. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but it's really cool. But in here is some really awesome nuggets on love. Bless those who persecute you. Man, okay, really? Only by God's strength. Amen. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. You can see that essence of love, that picture of love. This phrase is really amazing. This empathy phrase. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That's entering into someone's emotional world. We have our own emotions, and we usually don't really want anybody else's. I mean, that's just extra emotion. But rejoice with those if they're rejoicing, mourn with those. What do you guys think? What makes it challenging to enter into someone else's grief or celebration? Why do we not want it? What's the hesitation to do that? It's inconvenient, totally. People take time, right? And even inconvenience, maybe my well-being, my emotional state. I'm at a nice, peaceful state. And then to be inconvenienced into somebody else's either celebration or grief. Yeah. Inconvenience for sure. Any other? What makes it challenging for us to enter into someone else's emotional world, to share their highs or lows with them? Totally. With grief, it's hard to know what to say. It's like, it's uncomfortable. It's like I go in there and I don't know what to say, and I want to fix it and help, and I don't even, and just to like, just sit with you and be sad with you, it's like, I probably don't even know how to do that. You know, I might say something dumb, like we probably all had people say well-meaning things that weren't helpful to us. You know, it's like, sure, there's a real, there's a lack of comfort there. What else? What do you guys find makes it hard to enter into someone else's grief or celebration? It takes time, yeah. It's like, I got stuff to do. The last thing I want to do is sit around and cry with you or be happy about whatever's going on with you, okay? Yeah. Totally. Yeah, that's good. It says it's hard to let go of what we're feeling to go them. So like if someone's celebrating and I'm kind of bummed out, it's hard for me to just let go of that and just enter into their celebration. And the other direction too. But we have our own thing going on. It costs us something. And I think sometimes for me, it can feel frivolous. What somebody's celebrating is like, you're celebrating that? Like, big deal. Like, that's just some worldly thing. Yippity-doo. Like, or I think the same if somebody's grieving, like, oh, you're grieving that? Like, there's people dying. And that's just pathetic to take somebody's life and judge it as frivolous. But to be able to be like, man, you got to experience that. You got to enjoy that. You got to achieve that. Awesome. I rejoice with you that you got to experience some sense of satisfaction. Or man, you had this loss. It might not be the biggest loss anybody's ever felt, but it's real. And I know what loss feels like. And so to not make it too frivolous. And then I think sometimes it's so big. It's like, our life's kind of pathetic, and somebody's like, yeah, I just, you know, made an extra $2 million this year, and I went on a cruise here, and it's like, wow, that's great for you. Like, it's either too big or too little. You know, I think we kind of put a judgment on it. But it's, we know what it feels like to celebrate. We can connect with that. We know what it feels like to grieve, even if we don't know what the actual thing is. And to enter into that is really a powerful gift to someone. Tremendous. Love is more than feelings. It's not just like, oh, I have this sentimental thing towards people. Oh, I love them. But it carries us willingly beyond ourselves. It carries us into someone's world. It costs us something. It's a mini death. Love is a mini death of ourselves. If you choose to love someone, it'll probably hurt at some point. If you choose to love anybody, it'll probably hurt you. Yeah. It'll cost you heartache. That's a cost we have to count sometimes. Is it worth the heartache? On a more positive note, it does cost us something, but I think what we gain in love is way greater than what it costs. Which is why Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We receive something powerful in love. What do we gain in love as we lay down ourself for someone else? A true friend? Okay. Cool. So as we love, we receive friendship. We gain a depth of it, a true friendship, beyond just that superficial kind of fakeness. You get a true depth of relationship from love, which is I think, what we're hungry for. We've been wired to desire that kind of intimacy. Cool. So we get a taste of the love of Christ. In a human relationship, we get a taste of the divine. We get to experience the love of God between people. Cool. That's pretty powerful stuff. Yeah. Peace? Yeah. Right on. So there's a peace from being, I don't know, I guess being connected, being able to love someone. It's satisfying. There's something rewarding. It brings peace. Yeah. Okay. A new you. Transformation. I like that. So, and that even makes sense. As we lay down our life, we're laying down all these things that we thought defined us and all these things of self. We lay those down. In one sense, they literally die. So you become new. It's a new you. It's a greater you. It's rather than the small you, it becomes a bigger you. You become a new person. You become enlarged. Your heart gets bigger. Yeah. That's cool. Cool. So he's saying, it says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning the shame. That there was this joy. What was the joy of dying? There was a joy set before him. And in the same sense, to have that same sense of anticipation of joy by laying down our lives to love, to really give to someone, there's a joy ahead of us. What is that? To connect, to really, that joy was that Jesus got to be with us. And there's that joy in that relationship that we can experience too. Yeah. I remember a few years ago, there was a 10-year-old kid in our church, and his dad had passed away. And I remember he was over in the nursery after church, and I went over and he was just kind of standing all by himself. And all the other kids were playing, and he was just by himself. And I went over to him, and I kind of just got down at his level, and I was like, are you missing your dad? He was like, yeah. And I just asked him, what did you like doing with your dad? He was like, oh, I really liked playing Pokemon with my dad. And I was like, oh, what kind of Pokemons did you guys do? And he said, oh, my dad liked these Pokemons. You Pokemon guys are ashamed that I don't even remember any names. And I liked these ones. And I was able just to sit there and hear that and be like, you know, you had a really good dad. And I know he's really proud of you and he still loves you a lot. And it's just, I just had this like little interaction where I got to connect with him. And then I think he was done talking to me. He was just like, yeah, okay. And he went off and started playing. And I don't know if what I said, you know, made any difference, but I feel like he just needed a place just to share that. But it touched my heart. It blessed me so much. I feel like my heart was enlarged. And I received a greater gift by just getting to share a moment with this dude who was walking through something tough. And just to go beyond myself. And when we go beyond ourselves, we get bigger. And we get out of this little world where it's population me and enjoy a more full life that God's intended for us. And so it is worth the cost. And Christ is such an amazing example. I do think it has to come from his love. If it just comes out of us trying to sacrifice, we'll burn out and be bitter and out of love tomorrow. Because all the needs will overwhelm me. When I'm connected to his love and I'm able to share and give out his love, it's enriching and it grows and it fuels. It's a beautiful thing. So let's pray and we'll sing a couple more songs. Thank you, God. I thank you for loving us. Thanks that you would lower yourself. You are so far above us, you have no obligation to come into my mess and into my pain, and yet you do. Thank you for coming into my world, for being at my level, for loving me, for putting aside your interests for me, for listening to my heart and sharing yours. God, I ask that you would give us hearts of love. We would enjoy love, that we would have the courage to love and be loved. In Jesus' name, amen.